Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have got an informative hour for you today, and one that I think, especially if you're a pet lover, you are going to be really interested in hearing about. We have a guest, John Clifton. John is a repeat guest of mine. When I had John on before, we talked about his wonderful little terrier, Sparky. John is in New York. John, welcome to the show.
Well, I'm just I feel wonderful to be with you. You're such a wonderful host, and I bet all your guests say that because you're so knowledgeable and you ask the right questions and you actually read the books, and so it's really a pleasure for me.
Thank you, John. I do want to let my audience know that I had the opportunity to meet with you in person. We had some time for a cup of tea on this fast trip that I made just last weekend, and we were chatting about your book, Stop the Shots. And I want to give my audience a little bit of background about your wonderful dog, Sparky. And your first book was called Sparky Fights Back, A Little Dog's Big Battle Against Cancer. And your story was so interesting because it was all about the research that you and your wife did, how you worked with veterinarians. And Sparky's how old now?
He'll be 13 on the 4th of July.
And he's what kind of terrier?
He's an Australian terrier, not a breed that people know about, which is very unfortunate. They're a great breed, Australian terriers.
Well, Sparky, not only did he have the desire to fight back, but your story about Sparky's fight against cancer was just phenomenal. And since then, you've had so many responses from people. You put out a monthly email newsletter. You have a website. We're going to give our audience that information later on. But when I found out about your book, Stop the Shots, Are Vaccinations Killing Our Pets, I was really intrigued with this because vaccinations for humans as well as animals have been coming under the gun of scrutiny in ways that we had not thought were important years ago. And I think as we are going along in life, we're now questioning a lot of things that we didn't question before. And this is very good. And this is what inspired me to read your book, number one. And first of all, I know you. But secondly, I was intrigued with your research. Why, John, was this so important to you to be able to share what you had learned about vaccinations? Share us your story and how you got to where you did, to the point of doing the book.
Well, yes. Well, you know, you mentioned our newsletter. We put up a newsletter after the publication of Sparky Fights Back, as a sort of supplement, an adjunct, you know, an add-on to the newsletter for, let's say, people that had read the book, but new developments that happened, new clinical trials, new cures that were coming down, new treatments. And so we thought, you know, a book on things are happening so rapidly in the cancer for dogs and cats and people that a book is almost obsolete when the day it's published because things are just coming up. So we decided to do this online newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got feedback from our readers of the newsletter, and a lot of them were starting to talk about vaccinations. And they said, well, we know why your dog got cancer, because he was over-vaccinated. And I said, well, wait a minute. Vaccinations are supposed to be good. They're supposed to prevent diseases. You know, that's why we do vaccinations. Well, you look in your dog's history, and you'll see he had way too many vaccinations and so forth and so on. And I was intrigued by the idea that vaccinations could actually cause diseases as well as prevent them. They do prevent diseases. If you give a cat a distemper shot or you give a dog a parvo shot, they're not going to get those diseases, probably.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way it works. But I looked into it more and more, and I said, boy, I really strongly suspect that the reason our little Sparky, at 6 years old, he's now, as I say, going on 13, got lymphoma, which was kind of an incurable, basically, kind of cancer in dogs. And I looked at his vaccine records, and I said, gee, his first breeder really did, knowing what I know now, you know, his first breeder really, the first person that gave him shots, I should say, actually really overdid it. And then when we got him home from the breeder, and we took him to a veterinarian, and then the veterinarian repeated the shots. And then and I looked over and I said, boy, this is not what's being recommended. This isn't what the what I'm reading in the guidelines of all the professional veterinary associations, the AVMA, which is like the AMA of the veterinary world, American Veterinary Medical Association, and the Animal Hospital, American Animal Hospital Association, mm-hmm. and the American Association of Feline Practitioners. They all have guidelines on shots and how to restrict them and not overdo them. And I said, they weren't following any of this. And the more I looked into it, the more I said, boy, you know, I just bet that is the reason that Sparky got cancer at 6 years old. And the more I researched, the more I found out about how vaccines are actually causing many, many problems and deaths in our dogs and cats.
You bring up some points of information in your material, and you do a lot of research. You are a retired man. You're very talented. You've been involved in the area of the arts for many years. You've just got such an extensive and interesting background behind you. But your love for little Sparky has brought into your life a whole new arena of investigation, study, and
right.
in the state of New York.
I went from being a composer, lyricist, and to an author and a dog authority, a dog and cat authority. it was quite a transition. But, you know, the more you study about this, the more alarmed you become. And the more alarmed you become, the more you feel a sense of responsibility to spread the word. You know, there are, I have found, two kinds of pet owners. I call them Group A and Group B. Group A knows about vaccinations to a certain extent. They are wary of vaccinations. They might vaccinate their pets minimally. They know that annual booster shots are just a means of, let's say, increasing the income of veterinarians rather than really doing any good for the dogs and cats. They know what titers tests are to test if there's still immunity from an old shot. Then there's Group B. Group B is the guy you see walking down the street with a dog he got probably at the shelter, and he doesn't have, or she, they don't have a clue about vaccinations. They just see vaccinations as a panacea with no downside, and those are the people I try to reach with my book, and I'm trying to reach with my work. It's really, well, you know, there's a whole community of Group A-type people who know about this and know the dangers of vaccines. And they have been trying for years, 10 years, 20 years even, some of them, because this is not a new phenomenon, that it's not just new knowledge that people have just discovered, but it's been accumulating over a period of time. And there is a certain core of dog owners and cat owners who know about this, and they are desperate. They are breeders. They are responsible veterinarians. They are owners of shelters. They are just ordinary dog and cat owners who have had experiences somewhat similar maybe to mine. They want to spread the word, and it is just like sometimes it seems like you're just beating your head against the wall to try to get the word out there. So that's why I wrote Stop the Shots, Our Vaccinations Killing Our Pets.
I wanted to share with my audience some of the points of information that you have given in your book, Stop the Shots. One is that the state of New York, where you reside, the cancer rate among dogs has increased 150% in the last 4 years.
Oh, Boy, you're a good reader. You picked that up in the book. Yes.
Also, well, let me just give a couple of these points of information,
absolutely.
John. You have some points that I think are very significant, and it sort of dovetails with what you have just stated. You say pets that undergo chemotherapy are typically forbidden to receive any shots for the rest of their lives, and your dog Sparky, who is a cancer survivor, has not had a single vaccination in over 6 years. And you talk about how important it is to be very aware of when you have a puppy to not give the puppy vaccinations when they're too young. And you go into also some information of what you call the shot snapshot. And there are three basic types of immunity, and that's the mucosal, the humoral, and the cellular. So what I would like for you to do is to talk about how the red blood cells and white blood cells, what happens when an animal is given a vaccination? Why is it that if you give a puppy a vaccination at too young of an age, because most people are concerned, the animals can transmit diseases, there's all kinds of things that can come up with puppies, so you want to, just like with children, you want to make sure that they're going to be able to survive the experience. What happens, and you go into this quite in depth in your book, but what happens there for my listening audience? What do they need to know about how vaccinations work and the shot snapshot?
Well, I think of it as a little war in the body of a dog or a cat or a person when you get a vaccine. The body doesn't know you're getting a vaccination. It thinks you're getting a disease. Because what is a vaccination but a small portion of that disease? It can be either live or dead carcasses of either viral material or a bacterium, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is injected into the body. Why is that injected into the body? Because the body thinks it's got a disease. And what happens in the body is these little folks in the blood called antigens run around saying there's an invader. It's just like an army in an encampment and one of the enemy has broken through the walls, and they say let's start fighting this enemy. So they go to other little cells, little plasma cells they're called, and they turn those into antibodies. We've all heard of antibodies. Well, antibodies are little guys that go around killing a specific virus or a specific bacterium of a specific disease. The body is so wonderful. They recognize this disease, and the body creates an antibody against that specific disease. Well, then it fights it. And so there's a little war that goes on in the body. This doesn't matter whether it's the actual disease or the vaccine. So this little war goes on, right? And what happens is the antibodies, let's say it's for parvovirus, a very common vaccine that's given to puppies and kids. Okay. The image of that vaccine is let's say these antibodies are specifically created to fight it. Once they have killed all of the invaders into the body, they still hang around. Because there might be more that come back. And so those antibodies in the system are basically what immunity is. I try in the book to make this very clear to a mind that maybe is not very technical. I just try to steer away from medicalese, so that it becomes a clear image in the reader's mind. Now, the antibodies stay in the body. Now, if you never get that disease, they hang around, but they don't hang around for all that long, because if the disease doesn't show up, they say, what are we doing here? And they eventually die off, perhaps. Not as soon as many would lead you to believe. They hang around for a good long time. But even after they're gone, there are other little cells, memory cells, that keep an image. I call it an enemy database of these vaccines. For each disease that the body gets, in these memory cells, there is a database of with a perfect description of that disease. So even if the antibodies have all died out due to lack of being needed, then the memory cells still retain an image of that disease and can create antibodies on the spur of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the thing is this. People go and they get a vaccine from the vet for their dog or their cat, and then they're told to come in next year to boost the shot. Oh, the annual boosters. And they send out little cards. Time for your annual boosters. Come in and get all your shots again. Well, most shots last longer than a year. Rabies shots, it's been shown, lasted 7 years. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Many other shots, it's not been, let's say the research is not complete on just how long each shot lasts. But I can tell you that in general they last much longer than a year. Now, here's the thing. Let's say you have a little dog, and let's say it got a rabies shot when it was a puppy. And let's say it goes in after a year and gets another rabies shot. Well, if it was still immune to rabies when it gets that second rabies shot, it does more harm than good. You might as well not give it a shot, because if it's still immune, the immunity is not increased by another shot. The booster shot should be abolished from our vocabulary. Veterinarians should not give automatic booster shots. I'm not saying that any shot should never be boosted. There are times when you might, if you choose to vaccinate at all, and many don't. You know, many breeders nowadays are just giving up vaccinations altogether because they think it weakens the breed. But that's another topic. Anyway, after a year, 2 years, 3 years, you can do a test on a dog called a titer test that shows how many of these antibodies are in the blood. Well, if you do a titer test and it says, yep, there's still rabies antibodies in the blood, why on earth would you give another vaccine to that dog or cat? The reason for being minimal on all this, it's been well documented by many immunologists and experts in this field. When you give a dog or a cat or yourself or anything, any creature, a shot, that little war that goes on in that body is keeping the immune system pretty busy for a length of time. Let's say it's only 2 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
That your body is busy creating these antibodies, and it takes energy. Okay, let's say our bodies are making cancer cells all the time. As we speak, you, Donna, and I, John, our bodies are making cancer cells right now.
Absolutely.
But our immune system is saying, uh-uh, no, we're going to destroy you. We know what you are, and you don't belong where you are. We want our cells to be specific to what they are. If it's a cell that's supposed to be in your tongue, we want it to be in your tongue. If we want it to be in your toe, we want it to be in your toe. We don't want these extra cells, the cancer cells, so we kill them. But what if the immune system is compromised or weakened because of a vaccine? You see, any disease like cancer, you name it, can get a toehold during that little window of opportunity, and then there's no stopping it, you see. And that's how many, many dogs and cats are getting more and more cancer, more and more allergies, more and more, you name it. You name the disease. There's more of it now than there ever was in the past, and there's also more vaccines being given to our animals now than ever in the past. Sorry, I go on. This is like sounding like a monologue here, but I am so passionate about this that I just want to get that message out there, and I hope everybody listening is really taking heed to what I'm saying, and perhaps the information in my book can be used by people to really decide how much they want to go through with this, because as I say, there's the whole spectrum of people that never vaccinate to those people that go in every year and get booster vaccinations and annual boosters and boosters and boosters for the whole life of the animal, the poor little animals suffering all this invasions into their bodies.
Well, I know, John, that you've spoken to a number of professional people in the veterinarian practice area, and they have come up with their own research. And veterinarians often will interact in human research studies. I know that was something that a veterinarian told me many years ago with our Scottish Terrier, Mr. Smoke.
Yes, yes.
And he had kidney problems. And so
right.
he said, what I do, I go into the medical libraries because so much of what goes on with dogs, particularly, can often be associated with what humans go through and vice versa. So it's very interesting. Now, you not only talk about dogs, you also talk about cats, but I want to address something that has been of concern to many, many people. And I was, you know, it just doesn't cross your mind that when a vaccine is prepared, dependent on whether it's a live or a dead vaccine, there is going to be some kind of a preservative in it. Let's face it, those vaccines have to be prepared
right.
and transported, and so dependent on the constitution of that vaccine, they will use something to stabilize it so that it's not going to go haywire, so it
right.
will hold true to what it's supposed to do. And again, there's a very significant value to this. I mean, many people's lives and many animals' lives have been saved by understanding this principle. But the preservative that has been used, and this has come up in conversations with people that I know, in the last 2 years especially, even in human vaccines, a preservative that was used is mercury. And this is just something that affects the kidneys, the internal organs, and with many vaccines...
Oh, it's a poison. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And so here we are becoming more illuminated about this, and that's what I feel about your book. I think that it gives us something to look at, to research on our own, and also a lot to think about, but it's educating the self. And here you've got it, you know, here it is in animals' vaccinations as well. Now, it may not be in all of them today. Maybe they're removing it, but this
Well, the mercury has ostensibly been removed. Everyone realized that this is a terrible toxin, and they took it out. However, as late as last year, there was mercury detected in human flu virus
mm-hmm.
vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So one can never be sure, can one, what's in there. So, and not only preservatives, there are other things in vaccines called adjuvants. Adjuvants are materials in the vaccine to stimulate the body to fight against the disease that the vaccine is introducing into the body. And these adjuvants can create free radicals, which are atoms without all their charges. it's like a deck of cards without quite 52 in it. And these free radicals, now cats are... This is now, I said in the book, when I wrote the book, I said it's not, I quoted someone saying it's not very common, but I have discovered since it's much more common than is reported. Just through personal experience, I've gone to cat shows, and I've talked to cat owners, and this is a disease that they get directly from a vaccine. It even has a name, VAS, vaccine-associated sarcoma. And what happens is, where the needle is put into the cat's body, it gets a little bump in there after a few weeks, and that bump very often turns into a sarcoma. And this is the type of sarcoma which has to be cut out and is usually fatal in the long run in the cat. Now, this is a direct cause and effect relationship. It's no longer that vaccines are just suspected of doing things. Vaccines can be clinically demonstrated that vaccines are responsible for many, many diseases. So less is more. And what I try to do in Stop the Shots is give a little plan for the reader to plan their own vaccine program. Some people choose not to vaccinate at all, but some say, well, I'm not going to go that far. And besides that, we have to do rabies shots in most states, either every year or every 3 years, whatever, depending on your
mm-hmm.
locale. So I give a little plan where they can go through a series of yes or no questions and weed out vaccines which they don't need. Less is more. If you don't live where there's Lyme disease, why in heaven's name would you give a dog or a cat Lyme disease vaccine, if he's not going to be boarded with other animals, if you have a cat that lives at home and never goes outside and only it's your only animal, why would you give it Bordetella, which is communicable cough, you know, that's given, that's communicated in catteries and kennels? Why would you do that? I'll tell you why, because many times veterinarians say, well, they should get all their shots, you know. You got to be up to date on all your shots. And that is just foolhardiness to go along with that. Because I'm not bad-mouthing veterinarians in general. Veterinarians can be very moral people. They can be ethical people. No veterinarian is financially motivated to give less shots, because in general, generally speaking, about 50% of a veterinarian's practice is in giving vaccinations. And so if they don't give any vaccinations, they're practically out of business, many of them. So you just keep that in mind when you get those little notices to come in for all your shots or up to date on all your shots. You have to pick and choose, and no one's going to be able to pick and choose for you. You have to do it yourself. And for that, you have to be forearmed, forewarned, and foreeducated.
Yes, and that's something you bring out. You also go into diet, which is a very significant part of Sparky's experience.
Yes.
But you talk about the different types of vaccines, which I thought was extremely interesting, and the choices that you can make. And then you also have some statements, and this is for cats and dogs, but
right.
You also have some wonderful statements from some veterinarians. Now, I know we're almost out of time, John.
Right.
Give us your website and also your book, Stop the Shots or Vaccinations Killing Our Pets. John Clifton is my guest today. Give us your website, and I know our listeners probably would enjoy getting your newsletter. So why don't you give us that information?
Oh, very good. The name of the book is Stop the Shots, and that's the same as the website. It's www.stoptheshots.com. And if you go to stoptheshots.com, if you'd like to buy the book at Amazon, or you want to go to Barnes & Noble, or wherever, you know, you can get links right there at stoptheshots.com. So you don't have to do a search. You know, you can just go to Amazon via stoptheshots.com. The newsletter is, there's also links for a newsletter there. That you'd have to go to sparkyfightsback.com.
And that's S-P-A-R-K-Y.
Why, right.
Fight back.
Sparky Fights Back, all one word, so to speak. SparkyFightsBack.com. And there our newsletter. It's right on the homepage. You can't miss it. You can subscribe to that. We've redone it recently, and it's a pretty nifty newsletter, I think, the way it's come out. But StopTheShots.com is also for breeders and people who would like to buy. You know, the book amazed us in the sales so far, and the main reason is that people aren't buying just one book. Many people are buying 5, 10, and 20 books because they are in that group A that I mentioned, and they want to spread the word. And we deliberately made a short book that's easy to read and also inexpensive, so that and we give discounts for quantity orders. So a lot of breeders are buying 20. I got an order last week for 40 books from a breeder that just simply wants to give them out with their puppies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because many times breeders are very aware of this situation, and then they tell the puppy buyer or the kitten buyer, listen, blah, blah, blah about shots, you know, what all we've just been talking about.
Well, John, I'm sorry to have to interrupt you, but we're out of time.
Well, that's too bad.
It is. I know. You have a real passion for this, and I support the passion because I'm a dog owner myself. My guest today has been John Clifton. His book is Stop the Shots. Also, his information about his own dog, Sparky, fighting back and beating cancer. You'll be interested in all of it. Go to his website, stoptheshots.com, or sparkyfightsback.com. John, it's been a pleasure. We are going to be taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Donna Sebo. Don't you go away.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and by the way, phone lines are now open. I want to let those of you who are listening know if you'd like to call in and let me light up your life a little insight. I'll be glad to do that. We do have a caller waiting, but I want to give this information out first. The toll-free number is 877-876-5227. That's for the U.S. 888-810-8322 is for Canadians. And we also have 530-876-3222. And we're going to show you how it's done now. Let's go to the phone line. Welcome our first caller of the day. Welcome, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
My name is Beata, and I'm calling from La Conner, Washington.
From La Conner. Oh, one of my favorite places. Are the tulips out there?
Yes, they are all up now.
Oh, they are so spectacular this time of the year.
They sure are.
One of my most wonderful experiences, and maybe I'm being a little melodramatic, but I really don't feel that way, when my husband came up over a small hill, and here is this valley of tulips in La Conner, which is just breathtakingly magnificent, and it's millions and millions of tulips, and you have the reds and the yellows and the purples. I mean, it takes your breath away.
They sure are.
It's just absolutely, absolutely wonderful. Well, Beata, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
First thing I'm getting is take care of business. You're a very practical, down-to-earth person. No nonsense, willing to do whatever is necessary. And you are moving out in front. You basically have been a person that's been very supportive of anybody and everybody that you believed in. You were more like a behind-the-scenes person, and you're shifting. You're saying, I'm ready now to step forward and to be more of the person I really desire to be. And I think that that's absolutely fabulous. I think it's marvelous. Because what is happening is that all of this experience and knowledge that you have acquired in the past years now is going to be serving you very, very well. And I'm looking at some people on the sidelines that have been observing you and have really been waiting for you to be comfortable with stepping forward and taking your place, you might say, as a leader in your own way. And they're very pleased, but they know you have to do it in your own way, in your own manner. And that is why I'm getting the information of take care of business. You are shifting your priorities. And so you need to know it's going to take you some time to be able to make those shifts so that they feel comfortable with you. It's like learning how to be at ease in a Lycra suit, you know, scuba diving. Maybe you've never done it before, and you pull it on. It feels pretty tight. You feel it's really uncomfortable, and you have to push, and you have to pull, and you have to make everything get down in there. Well, that's how you're feeling right now. It's sort of like wearing a girdle. That's the way it is. And you are going to find after a while it's going to feel normal and natural to you. You're not going to feel constricted. You're not going to feel like things are too tight or too uncomfortable. It's all part of the learning curve. I think you've really been prepared for the shift in your life that is evolving. So pay attention, my dear. You're doing a good job, steady as you go. There's nothing wrong with what you're aspiring to shift into. It's been a long road. You have worked very hard to get to this point.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to ask me?
Yeah, it is like a gut feeling that I have that there is a pretty dramatic change in my life in front of me. It's just that I can't put a finger on it right now. I am just right now selling my house, but I just felt that that was the right thing anyway. But with this sale of my house, comes a really the deep gut feeling that something very different is waiting for me. Maybe, you know, involving more change than just the house.
Oh, I agree. I think that this is a closing down of one phase of your life to open to another. Where are you going to be moving to?
That's what I'm not sure of.
Ah, so you've put your house up for sale. You've made no plans on where you're going to go?
Uh-huh. Correct.
Fascinating. How much time have you given yourself to make a decision?
You know, it was, we thought about it for a while, and then the decision was made, and the next day the buyer was there, and so we feel pretty comfortable that it's really meant to be, and we have a 30-day closing, so it looks pretty, I think it looks like it's meant to be, and that, you know, makes this gut feeling even stronger.
All right, so here you are in this situation, and you've not yet decided where you're going to move to. If you choose to move into apartments for a while, that's great. This is taking care of business. Really looking at what's in front of you, looking at the financial resources you now have at your command. What are you going to do with those resources? Do you want to go back to school? Do you want to move to an entirely different area? You need to ask yourself some very significant questions. And the fact that your property sold that quickly shows you the value of the area that you're living in. And making a choice about your lifestyle is a big, big choice to make.
Mm-hmm.
And you have 30 days.
Exactly. And is there anything like a purpose, like a written, some people would call it Akasha Chronic or whatever. And is there anything like, something that's meant to be that I just cannot see right now? And how would I?
What I think is happening here is that you and yours are being given an opportunity for change. You could easily turn away from this opportunity and say, all right, we're not going to sell. And that's an option you have.
Mm-hmm.
But what this does, it puts into motion the fact that you have wanted to have a change. You have wanted to be able to make a change. And now what's occurring is you have the opportunity to write the script.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be anyone coming along and saying, here, this is the best for you. You are the one that is in the positioning of choosing. And that's a wonderfully, wonderfully powerful position to be in.
Okay.
And so you need to really sit down, and taking care of business is, this is where we are. We have the property sold. It really feels good. I like this. Now, we have XYZ dollars. What are we going to do with this?
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to put it in a holding pattern for 2 years until we figure some things out? and then just get an apartment to rent in, to live in temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
What do we want to do? Do we want to put our stuff in storage? How do we want to handle it? So you've got a lot of things, I think, to consider.
Mm-hmm.
And this is good because it's change.
Yeah.
And you're the boss on this.
I hope I'll make a good boss.
You've been working towards this for a long time. Trust yourself.
Okay.
Don't be afraid. Trust.
I will. Okay. Thank you so much, Donna.
You're very welcome, Beata. How did you learn about the show?
I got your email. That means, I got your link from a friend who listens to your show, and he said you have to listen into that, and I do, and I love your show.
Well, I'm so glad. Do us a favor, since you're on the website already, would you send a comment to BBS?
Absolutely.
Let us know what you think about the show and any comments, suggestions that you have for anything you'd like to hear.
I absolutely will do that.
That is wonderful. Thank you so much, Beata, and enjoy the beautiful, beautiful flower season you have up there in Lacana. It is just gorgeous.
I will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to do that. Here in the U.S. of A., the telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5227, or from Canada, 888-810-8322, or we have a direct line that you can call of 530-876-3222. And just like Beata, I would be delighted to just give you my mental impressions, and then you're welcome to ask a question about anything that you like. I wanted to share a thought with you because I know we're going to be going to break in just a couple of minutes. There's always the issue of what makes a good leader. And I really liked Harry Ehrlich's statement about this, and I wanted to share it with you. He's an editor. He said, during his tenure as the owner and CEO of Watermark Food Management, a restaurant management company, Gulam Bombaywala developed an appreciation for managers who had an MBA. Well, it's not an MBA of the usual kind. For Mr. Bombaywala, MBA stood for Mop Bucket Attitude. Don't you just love it? MBA, Mop Bucket Attitude. He wanted his managers he hired to recognize that no one, including me, is above picking up a mop and bucket to make the restaurants look the best that they can be. And Henry said, why don't we take this line of thinking a little bit further? We might recast an MA as a motivational attitude or a BA as a beneficial attitude and so on. Henry said, it's hard to overstate the importance of attitude leaders take towards their work and towards the people that they lead. I know someone told me many, many, many years ago that the attitude of management at the top permeates down through the entire organization. And I think that's very true. We're going to have a guest this week. In fact, it's going to be tomorrow, Charles Ridgway, who was the PR person for Disney and the wonderful, wonderful company that Disney developed. And his book is called Spinning Disney's World. And one of the things that Walt Disney did as an individual was inspire people. He didn't go around making compliments to them all the time. His expectation was you're going to give your best, but he always looked for the strongest, most positive aspect of talent that a person possibly had, and then tried to fit them into the niche where that talent could be utilized. His energy and his passion for what he did, for his work, was so strong that people just loved being around him because it energized them, it inspired them, it made them feel good. So no matter who you are, you may not be a CEO of a company, but remember what you do it and how you express yourself does touch and inspire other people. So think before you speak and be aware of what your attitudes are because it does ripple down. And I found it even comes and ripples back up to you. So it's a good thing to know about. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Don't you go away now. We're going to be back in just a moment. And, hey, I'll even be able to chat with you if you so desire, 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322. Don't you go away now. We're going to come right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Oh, I wanted to let you know we found out what the culprit was, or who the culprit was, relative to our unique situation with our computer. So all of that's back in order, and I'm starting to send out the email newsletter. And should you get a double copy, just bear with it. Be patient, because just some wacky things have been going on, but now we've got it, so the rest of it will be going out today and tomorrow. And if you'd like to get a free copy, all you have to do is email me at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's Donna at Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, and the whole word, international.com. And I'll be glad to put you on the mailing list, or you can go to my website, and it's already posted, it's already up there. And my webmaster, Caroline, she does such a fabulous, fabulous job. I'm just so grateful for her. Now, Easter. Yes, yes, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Well, in my newsletter, there's a wonderful recipe for a honey and spice glazed ham. For many people, when they're celebrating Easter, ham just is one of the traditional meats that is served. Well, I thought I'd share with you this real quick and easy recipe with asparagus. It's one of my favorite vegetables. And I thought that it might be something you'd like to fix. It would be a little bit different for your family and friends. And you can use the same kind of crumb topping that they make for this asparagus, a lemony crumb topping. You could use it on green beans, cauliflower, and a lot of different vegetables. So it just gives a little bit of a different twist. Now, fresh asparagus, they are just absolutely yummy. And all that you're going to need are you will need 2 pounds of fresh asparagus. And, of course, you want to wash them and trim them. You're going to need about 3 tablespoons of butter, 3 tablespoons of butter, a clove of garlic, and you want to mince that up finely. So that's 3 tablespoons of butter, 1 clove of finely minced fresh garlic, 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. You're going to need 1/3 cup of Italian seasoned dry breadcrumbs. And I know there's other types of seasoned breadcrumbs, so whatever's your preference. But for this recipe, we're going to use the Italian seasoned dry breadcrumbs. 1 tablespoon of grated lemon zest. That's fresh lemon zest. And that's two tablespoons of chopped fresh dill. And this is how simple it is. I mean, this takes like maybe 7 minutes, 5 to 7 minutes to do, if that. And you can also prepare this ahead if you want it. You can reheat it right in the lemon mixture if you like. But here is how it goes. And you need a skillet that's about 12 inches and nonstick preferable. Over medium heat, you want to bring 1/2 cup of water to boil. And then you put your fresh asparagus in there. Cover it and cook until tender. And you'll need to test them. You know, it all depends on what you like. If you like them sort of crunchy, it might be 3 to 4 minutes. If you like them more cooked, then you might want it 5 to 7. So you just keep an eye on it and test it and see what you like. Remove your asparagus, drain the skillet. Then in that same skillet, after you've taken the water out, whatever's left, then you melt 2 tablespoons of butter over low heat. Add your garlic, and you cook the garlic until it's nice and soft. Less than 2 minutes to do that. Then you add your lemon juice, the salt, pepper, and put your asparagus back in. You stir it to coat, transfer it to a serving plate. And in the same skillet, you then melt the remaining butter over medium heat. Add in your breadcrumbs, your zest, cook stirring until they are lightly brown. It takes about 3 minutes. and remove from heat. Stir in the dill and just sprinkle it over your asparagus. Really, really easy. And just a Donna tip, if you have the space on your stove, if you're serving a big dinner, you may not, but if you have the space on the stove, you might just want to have a smaller skillet that is on low heat with that tablespoon of butter. So once you've got that asparagus ready to go into the platter, then in the smaller skillet, that's already, the butter's already melted, it's already warmed up. You put in your breadcrumbs. They can be browning just before your asparagus are finished, and it's all ready to go, and you put it right on. So if your stovetop isn't crammed, you might want to do that, have the breadcrumbs and the lemon in another small skillet. But not all of us have, you know, six burners to work with, and sometimes that stovetop, when you're serving and getting ready for company, is pretty packed. I know mine can be at times. So anyway, this is good cold, it's good warm, and it's just something that's really, really delightful. So I wanted to share that with you. Also, what I wanted to do, we were talking about animals earlier, and I wanted to just talk to you about a few of our friends, and maybe I'll just have time for one. By the way, if you wanted to call in and chat with me, call me on 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322 if you're in Canada. And I don't want to forget, before I talk about some of these animal friends of ours, I want to remind you tomorrow we're going to be talking with Charles Ridgway, who has been involved with Disney and the wonderful world of fantasy. We're going to be talking about his fabulous book, Spinning Disney's World. It is awesome what this man has been able to experience in his many, many years of being associated with this wonderful, wonderful vision and this business. It's just been great. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Susan Dean. We're going to be talking about online education, online education. And then next week, we're going to be talking with Deborah Dillard, and we're going to be talking about Gift Giving by the Stars, The Trouble with Thinking with Lawton Powers, and then Qigong with Chunyi Lin. And that is going to be a fascinating week. We have a surprise guest we're going to have on Monday. The person who was scheduled for this coming Monday had to make an unexpected emergency trip, so they called to say that they weren't going to be able to make the interview on Monday, but we are going to be rescheduling someone else in. So we'll just take that all in stride, as we always do. Okay, and don't forget, if you need to reach me for any reason, you can always call my office, 800-872-8852. By the way, I want to mention I am going to be in Fairbanks, Alaska, and Anchorage, Alaska at the end of this month. This trip is coming together very, very quickly, so I want to be sure to put the word out. And if you want to have more information on that, then just contact me either through email or, again, my office, 800-872-8852. I have in front of me a picture of Murphy. Murphy is this dynamically handsome St. Bernard, and he's all geared up. He has on his hard hat. He is all about teaching fire safety. The best teacher, well, this is Murphy. He has reached 10,000 children so far in Bristol, Tennessee. There's a firefighter, Len Casey, who knows the trick to educating kids about fire safety. He knows the trick is getting their attention. And by golly, his buddy, 150-pound Murphy, yes, Murphy the St. Bernard, he has just captured the hearts of over 10,000 children. He has all kinds of tricks. He stops, he drops and rolls. The kids just love him. And when he crawls on his belly under pretend smoke, the kids never forget what he's doing. So they're learning how to deal with emergency situations, all because of this wonderful, wonderful St. Bernard. And Len Casey, who is the firefighter, said he just doesn't know how he'd be able to communicate as effectively as he does if he didn't have Murphy. Murphy is the life of the party. He said the kids love him, and they listen much better to the message when Murphy's teaching it. They usually just ignore me. So I wanted to share that wonderful story with you. My goodness, we're out of time. It does go by so quickly. I'm so delighted that you were able to join me today. Don't forget, we're going to enter the fascinating world of Walt Disney tomorrow, and I invite you to join me in the wonderful journey that the guest that I'm going to have, Charles Ridgway, is going to be sharing with us. This is Donna Siebel. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a great one. And believe in your dreams. That's your right. Enjoy and work towards them. They'll come true one day. Donna Siebel here. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.